All right, so the topic for today is actually going to be a two-parter. We'll run into next week, and the topic that I was hoping to do next week will blend into what I think we're going to do in part two. At least I hope so. The topic is Shemitah, spices, and flowers. So this week we're going to primarily see the discussion of spices, and next week primarily flowers. And laundry figures into this also a little bit. Dyeing material also figure into this a little bit. But we'll see what we get to at any rate. You have to start the whole discussion with the Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Amud Aleph to Mem Amud Beis. It's source Aleph on your sheets. The Gemara there begins by talking about wood. Ve'etzim lahasaka tanoihi. The wood, as far as burning, wood that is meant for burning is a machlokes tanoim. The part that led into this isn't really the critical point. The critical point begins here with the brisa that we're going to quote. Tisanya, as the brisa says, Ein mosrin peros shvius lo lemishra v'lo lekvusa. The Tanakama in this brisa says you're not allowed to use shmita produce for mishra, which is soaking, such as where you're going to soak something for the sake of the color being absorbed. Velola kavusa, and may not be used for laundry, laundering things. Rabbi Yossi Omer Moser, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, no, you are allowed to. That's the brisa that really gets us started. My taima de Tanakama, what's the rationale for the Tanakama? Why does he say you're not allowed to use the Shemitah plants for soaking or for laundering? Damar kra le'ochla, because the Torah says that the produce is supposed to be for you, le'ochla, for eating, v'lo le'mishra, not for soaking, v'lo le'kavusa, and not for laundering, it's only for eating. My time of Rabbi Yossi, and what's Rabbi Yossi's rationale? Amar kra lachem, because the Torah says that it should be for you. Lachem l'chol tzarcheichem. It is for you. It is for all of your needs. V'afilu l'mishra v'l'kvusa, including for soaking, including for laundering. Because the pasuk actually says lachem l'ochla, for you to eat. So the question is, where do you place the emphasis? Is it for you, whatever is for you, or is it for you to eat and only for eating? That's the machlokas in the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara asks, "Tanakama haksiv lachem?" Well, that's not so simple. The pasuk says lachem. You can't ignore the fact that it says for you. If it only meant for eating, why did it say for you? Hahu lachem dumya dele'ochla. So the answer is yes. It's for you in ways that are similar to le'ochla. In other words, we're going to expand from eating to include certain other activities that are similar to eating for you. Misha hana'aso ubi'uro shafa. And we define it as an act where the benefit you gain from the item comes in simultaneously with the destruction of the item. In other words, when I eat something, my benefit occurs at the same time as the item is destroyed. Now, I'm biasing you a little bit by translating it in that way. Because you could also translate it as, the benefit comes from the destruction of the item. Not only that, another element that requires some discussion is, when we say your benefit is simultaneous with the destruction of the item, that means there are two other possibilities. Benefit before the destruction of the item, or benefit after the destruction of the item. What's an example of something you benefit from before it ever is destroyed? Hello? Besamim. Usually, we're going to see some nuance in that, but presumably besamim, spices, right? I benefit by smelling it. It's not destroyed. Over time, it may deteriorate, but I'm benefiting from it, and it's still intact. An example of something you benefit from only after it's destroyed? Sorry? Why? Right. But it's not destroyed. It's just been converted into a different form.
Animals, you kill them, and then you benefit from
it. But again, the entity is intact. Firewood. Right? It has to be destroyed, but if it's for the sake of heat, it's destroyed, and then you gain the heat. You're not gaining the heat. Any heat...
How's that not And also Euro shopping.
Because you destroy the fire, you destroy the wood, and then you get the heat from the flames. By definition of the way matter is converted into energy, any energy you are gaining is from matter that has already been destroyed.
So it's not about a delay, like a significant delay.
That's correct. It's simply that you would distinguish between the destruction of it and when the benefit comes. There's something to discuss in that in terms of coals, but I don't want to go too far into that right now. Yeah?
I was going to say, it's not through its destruction. Like, it's not, I mean, again, it's a nuance in the wording that you're not benefiting through its destruction versus like...
So that's a point we have to explore. Is it about chronology or is it about causation? So that's something we have to get to. But right now, the simple read of our Gemara that I'm offering you is that we expand from eating to other types of actions that you're allowed to do with Shemitah produce because they are like eating in the sense that you benefit even as the item is destroyed. That's the first take. It's sort of similar to the discussion. Let me not tell you what it's similar to. It's a distraction. Rabbi Yossi haksiv le'ochla, to which the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yossi, wait a minute. What do you do with the fact that the pasuk says le'ochla? That's how the Tanakhama dealt with lachem. Right? He said lachem does not permit all benefit. It only permits eating style benefits. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, said anything is good. Lachem includes even soaking, even wandering, even whatever. So what does he do with le'ochla? Then why do I need the narrowing word of le'ochla that it's specifically for eating? To which the answer is, you're right, there is something we are excluding. We're excluding melugma. Melugma is some kind of medicinal drink, which was awful. But it was a medicinal drink. Kidisanya, I have a bracelet that says, Le'ochla v'lo le'melugma. It is for eating, not for melugma. I may not use Shemitah produce for this melugma potion. Ata omer le'ochla v'lo le'melugma o'eno ala v'lo le'kavusa. To which they then ask, how do you know that when the Torah says le'ochla, Shemitah is for eating, it means to exclude melugma? Maybe it means to exclude laundry. How do you know which one to exclude? Kishu omer lachem, hare lekvusa amur. No, because the word lachem, it is for you. That included laundry. Hamani mekayim la'ochla. So what will I use la'ochla to exclude? La'ochla v'lo le'melugma, to exclude the melugma. So I have two words. Lachem includes laundry. La'ochla excludes melugma. So the Gemara says, well, how did you know that? Ma ra'isa l'rabos ha'kvusa l'ahutzi yas ha'melugma. How do you know that we are including laundry and excluding melugma? I could just as easily have done the opposite. So the Gemara explains, no, there's a logical point. Marbe ani yas ha'kvusa sheshava b'chol adam. I include laundry because everybody needs to do laundry. Right? Even university students need to do laundry. Umotzi yas ha'melugma. And I exclude melugma she'ena shava l'chol adam, because that's not for everybody. A person doesn't use a melugma unless they are sick. It's not something that is for everybody. Laundry is a constant need for all human beings. Melugma is not. So we learn from here two different points. Point number one is a legitimate use of Shemitah produce is a use in which the hana and the bi'ur are simultaneous according to the Tanakhama, right? The benefit and the destruction are simultaneous. And second, the principle of shava l'chol nefesh, or shava l'chol adam, as it's worded here in the Gemara, which is that you're only allowed, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're only allowed to use Shemitah produce for a purpose which is common to everybody. Not just eating, but that which is common to everybody. Those two principles are going to anchor a lot of what we're going to discuss for the next 50 minutes. These two points. Even though we're going to use them in a very different way, and this is something that really bothered me as I was preparing the shiur, but I don't have any answer for it. The Gemara here has talked about using these principles to define a permitted use of Shemitah produce. Right? That's what it's saying. If the use is hanasu b'yor shava, if the use is shava l'chol adam, then it's an okay use. However, everything we're going to see for the rest of this year is going to use those two principles not to define a legitimate use of Shemitah produce, but to define whether Shemitah produce has Kedusha at all. You guys didn't notice that in preparing?
No.
We took a complete left turn, didn't we? Well, I mean, now think about it now. Right. We haven't seen it, but it's true. We are going to use this in an entirely different direction, such that we're going to say that, as you'll see, if you have Shemitah produce that is not, for the, which the benefit is not Shava L'chol Nefesh, it's not something that everybody benefits from, it's not subject to Kedusha Shvias. It's a whole different thing. I'm not clear on how we made that left turn, but we did. And, well, anyone who did Hachana did. Anyone who didn't do Hachana will do. Okay. It's time travel. Changes all your things.
Go back through everything.
Yeah.
Reread.
Yeah. So that brings us to our first question. Do inedible besamim have Kedushas Shvias? Okay, think of your Hadassim, for example. Right? The Hadassim that you used on Sukkot, right? So a lot of people have the practice of, after Sukkot, keeping the Hadassim and using them for besamim for Havdalah. Do those, if they grew in Israel during Shemitah, do those have Kedushas Shvias? The question is, they aren't fruit. You don't eat them, but they did grow, and they benefit the body by smelling. Right? We make a bracha on smelling. So the question is, do they have Kedushas Shvias? You follow the question? That's what we want to know. So we begin with a Mishnah in Shvias, which is going to anchor everything we're going to discuss. Base. Mishnah says, Havered v'akofer v'halatav v'halotem. We list four species. Vered, we're going to come back to Vered when we discuss flowers. Right now we're going to pretend Vered is a rose. There's a lot to discuss in that regard, but we're not. That's not our discussion for today. That's a discussion, God willing, next week. The next item up is kofar. So kofar, according to the Rav Matz and the Rambam on the Mishnah, they associated with the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Eshkol HaKofar. The Rambam and Bartanura float the idea that it may be Al Chena. Al Chena sounds like henna, but henna is generally considered inedible. And these are actually things that we'll see are used in food. Henna, they say, don't eat henna. That's the, I looked around on the internet. They gave advice. They don't eat henna. Rashi and Nida all say min bosem. It is some kind of plant that is aromatic. The Tiferes Yisrael says cypress, but that's a uniquely useless term because cypress is a very broad class of trees. You can't. There are all sorts of cypresses, cypressi. So kofar is, as we'll see in general, is going to be an edible bosem. It's going to be an edible aromatic plant. Beyond that, it's very hard to define it. Ktaf is a tree sap, which we're going to come back to, I hope. And then lotem. Because you see the term I'd say haktaf.
Right, they're talking about haktaf, and there are certain terms they're talking about the haktaf and the sraf of the haktaf.
Correct.
And other times they're talking about it interchangeably.
Right. So it seems to me the ketaf is the sap, and a tree will be called the eighth ketaf if it's the tree from which you produce ketaf. It's known, the tree gains that identity.
Right. So, but a ketaf that usually pair up would be a tree that has sap.
Say that again?
There was also the idea of the ketaf should usually pair up. Right, like a ketaf that has fruit.
Where did you see that?
Like that was a lot of the.
Well, show me when it comes up because I don't think so. We'll talk about ketaf. We have the half the shear is going to be on ketaf. Right. Lotem is by pretty much all the mafarshim associated with Lot, not Lot Abram's brother-in-law, but Lot, the spice that's on the caravan that takes Yosef down to Egypt. Nechosut Zriva Lot. So Lot is an edible spice. Fundamentally, as the Rash notes, first let's read the Mishnah. I'm getting ahead of myself. These four species, Yeshlem Shvias, Udmeim Shvias, Shemitah applies to them. And then Rabbi Shimon is going to discuss Ketaf, we have to come back to him. But we're saying that for these, there is Kedushas Shvias. The Rash, Rabbi Shimshon, on the Mishnah explains, the reason why the Mishnah needs to say this, is because I might have said, let's treat them like wood. which has no kedushas shvius. The wood itself does not. That's a gemara elsewhere, which you've discussed on other occasions. The Mishnah is saying these have kedushas shvius. So then the question is, why do they have kedushas shvius? If they're not edible, if they're not food, we don't think of them as directly food, why is it that they have kedushas shvius? So the Chazanish says, and the Derech Emunah says, I brought you the Derech Emunah just because that was the one that was easier to cut and paste, in Source Gimel, he says, Umina, if the Chazanish is shvius, Yadal it attests, we'll see him later. But the Derech Emunah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes, Uminim elu yesh bahen tam, these species have taste. Raksha'eno ochel chashuv bifnei atzmo. It's just not considered to be a food independently. No one goes out and says, I would like to eat some lot. No one says, I would like to go out and eat some kofar. The Elishakoshin Boshemanu Shar Devarim, they pickle it. He writes here, they pickle oil in it, but that can't be what he means. They pickle it in oil. Elishakoshin Bo Bashemen. The Ikara, unless he's using the term pickle to mean it is spicing the medium in which it's located, that could be. The Ikara Lareach, but the main use of these is indeed for scent. Velachin Bavada Yeshbo Kedusha Shvius, and therefore it has Kedusha. That's the statement that the Derech Hamunim says in explaining this Mishnah. They have taste, but they are not food on their own, and that's why the Mishnah was necessary. Got it? Which means that I know the answer for edible besamim. Besamim that become part of food. But what about non-edible besamim? You don't put hadassim in any recipe under the sun. I'm sure that's not true, but basically you don't put hadassim in food. So what's the rule going to be? So here we look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is source Dalet. Yerushalmi Shvius Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. The Yerushalmi asks two questions. I brought you the first question, even though it's not about the spices, because it's important in establishing the need for Shavu L'chol Nefesh. That the principle that we defined in the Gemara in Sukkah, that it has to be for everybody, is not only a rule for how I may use Shemitah produce, but it's also a rule for defining what has Shemitah status in the first place. So take a look at this Yerushalmi. Tzvi in la'adam maushe he'alein kedushas shvius. Dyes. Do dyes, things that are used for dyes for people, because the Gemara elsewhere discussed dyes for animals, but dyes that are for people, do they have kedushas shvius? Nishmana min hador. We can learn it from the following. The Torah says, lochem, it shall be for you, and we define that as kol shu litzarech lochem, anything that is a need for you. V'tani Allah, and we learned on that, kigona. That includes eating, drinking, anointing with oil, and dyeing, coloring. As opposed to malugma, which is only for people who are sick, and yatis alontin she'ena el tefillin. And alontin is also something that's excluded because it's only for tefillin. He doesn't mean tefillin that you wear. Different explanations in different mepharshim for tefillin. The Pnei Moshe says it's for children. The Vilna Gaon has another read. It doesn't matter for our purposes. The point is, what we're saying is, that there is shmita for dyes. Not for these other things, but yes, for dyes. That's the statement. Rabbi Yonah Bui, Rabbi Yonah asks a question. V'lama yatzis malugma she'ein alea kedushas shvius. Why are you excluding malugma? V'hatani dun, which in the Vilna Gaon's edition doesn't say dun, it's viradin. Vitzar, which is tsari. Vizera istis, shazorin ozen v'motzoi shvius, kedusha shvius, chala aleyan. We say that roses, among the other things here, istis is another dye, they have kedushas shvius. So I don't understand, why is melugma out, but these things are in? So the Gemara answers, my kedon, lachem hashava lekulchem. What do we do with this? The answer is, lachem excludes those things that are not the same for everybody. We only include things that are the same for everybody. So the upshot of this Yerushalmi is the principle we learned in the Gemara in Sukkah, saying that the only thing you're allowed to use Shemitah produce for is a benefit that is normal for people, is also a rule in defining Kedushas Shvius. That that it only has Kedusha Shvius, it only has Shemitah status. If the benefit that people use it, get from it normally, is in fact a benefit for everybody. Yeah.
If that's the case, then if something doesn't have kedusha status, there's no problem using it at all.
Correct, but what if you had something that had kedusha status and you wanted to use it for something that was not shavah l'chol nefesh? That would be the case where you'd need that gemara and sukkah.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So there is shemitah for dyes, for coloring things. That's number one. Now we get to the besamim question. Why did I bring you the Chazon Ish here? Oh, I brought you the Chazon Ish. No, I know why I brought the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was just to make a point that I really sort of stated already, but now I'll state it again. Anyway, which is, when they're going to ask about the besamim, they don't bring you any proof from that Mishnah that we saw, which listed besamim as being subject to Shashvias. So the reason he did it, we don't bring it from there, is because, again, that one was about edible items. We already saw that a little bit from the Derech Emunah, but now I brought you the Chazon Ish here in Source Hay, where he says, V'adisnan perikzayim mishnevav haver rakover v'alatom yeshlem shviyas v'heim mine besamim kimo shepirish Rashi nidaches avar aleph. He says, we already have a Mishnah that lists these items, which are known as besamim, as Rashi in the Gemara Nida, which we will see, God willing, says, ein lifshom mikan de besamim yeshlem shviyas. You can't answer the Yerushalmi's question from there and say besamim are subject to Shemitah, da'asam yeshlem gam tam, because those have a taste. We don't treat them as food, but we will use them as a spice in food. And our question is about the inedible ones, the ones that are not for eating, the hennas of the world. So again, the point for us is we want to know about Shemitah status for the inedible besamim. That's our fundamental question, and that's what we're now going to address with the passage from the Yerushalmi ask the question right here. Source above. Besamim Moshe Hayalein Kedusha Shvias. Is there Kedusha of Shemitah for Besamim? These inedible spices. Nishma'ina min hadah. We'll learn from the following. We have a source that says, and there are various editions for this. I'm going with one standard edition for it. Haperach lavan, the white flour. V'ha'orez, it sounds like it means rice. It will be a flour associated with rice, or others explain it as a different entity. Ein alein kedushas shvias. They do not have shmita status. So does that prove that besamim don't have shmita status? These items are not edible. Your besamim are not edible. They are for smell, these items, these flowers. So would I say that the same thing is true, that your besamim that are just for smell do not have kedusha shvias? You follow what we're doing? Right? We're asking about inedible spices. Do they have kedusha shvias? And our answer is, based on flowers that are only meant for smelling. So the Gemara gives two answers. Chevraya Amri, de Rabbi Shimoni. So one answer is no. That source about the flowers, that was Rabbi Shimon talking. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Ein L'Ketav Shvias M'Bnei She'eino Peri. Rabbi Shimon also says that Ketav, which we've read in the Mishnah, has Shemitah status. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, no, it doesn't. It's not called a fruit. So in other words, don't prove anything from those flowers, because that's a unique point of view. You can't necessarily extrapolate from this brisa to tell me that the rule is going to be that things that only have a smell don't have kedusha shvias. Second answer in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Avo says tifter divrei akol hi. He says no, it could be everybody agrees regarding those flowers. Why? Ba'adan nisurta, because those flowers are nisurta. We're going to come back to what nisurta is, God willing, next week. Right now, we will say one explanation, which is that these are flowers that fall off and that nobody uses, and that's why they don't have shemitah status. They don't have kedusha shvias. The point is that the Yerushalmi seeks to answer the question about the inedible besamim, right? It brings us a source to try to answer the question of the inedible besamim. We reject that source either because it's Rabbi Shimon and it's not mainstream, or because we say that source is talking about flowers that aren't even for smell. Those are nishurta, we'll have to see. So, does the Yerushalmi have an answer for besamim? Is Yerushalmi actually going to answer our question? The answer is no. Yerushalmi does not have an answer. Which means I now have three questions that I need to address. Question number one is, why did Yerushalmi ask this question in the first place? If the besamim are not edible at all, why should they have Shemitah status? Why don't I just say, so they're wood. They happen to smell good, but they're wood, fundamentally. That's question number one. Question number two. Let's say I'm going to argue the other side. They have a smell, therefore the body benefits, therefore it has Kedusha Shvius. So why wouldn't I say that it has Kedusha Shvius? What's the argument against? Either I'm going to say this is wood, and therefore I don't understand why you're even asking, or I'm going to say the body benefits, I don't understand why you're asking. What are the arguments on each side? And it's not simple as saying, well, this is edible, it's not edible, whatever. There's more to it. And then finally, since we don't have an answer in the sugya, how do we pass it? Bottom line, what do you do? So we go to our first question. What's the reason why I would think it would have Kedusha Shvius? So one answer is the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish simply says, because they do have a smell. When all is said and done, they have a smell. If you take a look at source Zion, Debesamim afilu osan she'enan rak l'reach ve'enan ru'uyan la'achila besamim, even those that have no, that are only for smell, I'm sorry, and are not edible at all, chashivi peri, they are still called fruit. Shechashuvin piryon etel ha'adam ba'kom alakdin osan, their fruit is important for people and everybody collects them, everybody takes them. That's one reason why. The other reason, or the other point that is made, is that hana'asa ubi'uro shave, the benefit from them comes at the same time as the destruction. That this, in other words, is considered like eating. It's considered like eating. It's considered like eating because you smell and destroy them, you benefit and destroy them simultaneously. So Yisrael Meir says, what are you talking about? Right?
Yeah.
We just said, I asked this room, I said, can you please tell me, give me an example of something for which the benefit precedes the destruction? And his answer was, smelling besamin. So what are you doing when you say it's hanaso b'yuroshave? So take a look at the Mishnah Rishona, in source Ches. He indeed makes this point. He says, kol hani l'recha avidi. He says, all of these are actually made for smelling. And being made for smell, like the Chazon Ish said, means that it does have Shemitah status. Tehani nami imeriach bahen kimo shehein hana'asan kodem biuran. Because you're right, if you smell them as they are before, you know, as they are, then the benefit precedes the destruction. Vim nosim latavshil, and if you put them into food, hanasim b'shas b'yurin, the benefit is when it is destroyed. B'shasha tavshil kolet hareach kol ha'ikor, because the way it works is the taste is absorbed as the item itself is destroyed. Which I find to be an interesting concept, but I'll leave it. Kamo gabet svayim v'resh pirkin, just like by dyes, where you put the dye into the vat and the dye ingredient is dissolved.
Kolet hareach. I call it a tom.
Right, but that's it. We're equating them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what the Mishnah Rishona is telling me is a very important point. Yisrael Meir, you don't have to worry. We're not contradicting what you said before. What he is saying is, and that's why I underlined it, the different uses here, when we say that in order to have Kedushas Shvius, it has to have Hana'asan Ubiuran Shaveh, that's not precise. What we really mean is that it shouldn't be like wood. In the case, like firewood. In the case of firewood, I destroy it, and then I benefit. And that's what I want to avoid. That the benefit comes after the destruction. So long as the benefit is not after the destruction, there is Kedushas Shvius. Which means, in the case of food, I benefit and destroy simultaneously? Check. In the case of besamim, I benefit first and then it's destroyed? Check. The only thing, the Mishnah Rishona is saying, the only thing it can't be is benefit after destruction. That's the only thing we're going to rule out. You follow? Sitting back there doesn't exempt you.
No, you said food that
benefits
during
obviously
that's fine.
Yeah.
That has
Kedusha Shvius. The besamim, you're benefiting from before it's destroyed. Yeah. So that's an interesting question because it also begs us to define better what destruction means. In other words, is cutting the stem of the flower the act of destroying the flower? I would argue it's not. In the same way that when you severed the pepper, you didn't destroy the pepper, right? You're going to eat it later, and that's going to destroy the pepper. So Eitan raises the question of a flower that only releases scent after it's been cut, but my answer would be cutting it is still not the destruction of the flower. Yeah.
There wasn't a car, I forget who, but who said that having, I mean, you'll get to this later when we talk about talking Linoi, right?
Yeah.
There was somebody who says that it, they are shoving that situation. Why? Because as you're looking at it, the flower is dying, even though it's a slow process.
Yeah, we'll see that.
The process of its destruction.
Right. It's sort of the pessimistic view of life.
Yes.
Right? From the moment we're born, we're dying. But the Mishnah Rishona's statement is that the reason why besamim will qualify for Kedusha Shvi'is is they have a smell, number one, and the smell matters. And number two, it's hanaso biuro shave. Not in the sense that you destroy it when you smell it, but in the sense that you benefit from it before it is destroyed. You're benefiting from it pre-destruction. Frankly, the Oz Nidberu disagrees with this approach. The Oz Nidberu of Benjamin Zilber in Source Tess writes, "V'av sheshitas haRambam de'ein kedusha shvi'is be'edzim apilu b'davar shana'asu b'yiroshave sha'ani b'samim da'anaz ha'guv ha'vika achila." The Oz Nidberu says, you know, the Rambam's position regarding wood is that even if the benefit is simultaneous with the destruction, even still, it's wood. It's never going to have shemitah produce and shemitah kedusha shvi'is. It will never have shemitah status. As long as it's wood, it won't have kedusha shvi'is. And why is it that b'samim then have kedusha shvi'is? It's really about the fact that the smell benefits the body. Hanaso b'yiroshava is irrelevant. It's not really about
the fact that he says it's kerechila. Is he only going to apply that to shemitah, or
as opposed to?
If he's going to say smelling b'samim is like kerechila, what about Yom Kippur? Then smell. I see people with smelling salts.
Oh, to say it's like a chila for that purpose, yeah, he's not going to equate them for that. No. So, what we have here, let me make sure I'm saying it clearly, because I don't think I said it clearly the first time. What we're saying is, why is this that these should be considered like wood? One approach is the Chazanish's point of view, and the Oz Nidberu, because the smell benefits the body. The other approach, really, what the Mishnah Rishona is saying, is that it's because hanaso b'yiroshava, because you are benefiting from it at the same time or before it is destroyed, it's almost as though he's saying that even if there's no benefit for the body, just because there is, the gain you have is pre the destruction, therefore it's like achila, and that's good enough. You follow? It's a remarkable idea that he's putting forward. But that seems to be the idea. So again, the reason why they have Kedusha Shvi'is is either it benefits the body or because Hana Aso B'yuro Shava, by which we mean Hana is not after beer. Those are my two possibilities. Second question now. So let's say we have these reasons why it should have Kedusha. Why shouldn't it have Kedusha? What's the argument against? So the first argument against is, well, there are three that we're going to see, but the first argument against is it's not Hana Aso B'yiro Shava. There are those who argue, no, the benefit is not simultaneous with the Biur. The benefit is not simultaneous with the destruction. This is the position taken by the Derech Amuna against the Mishnah Rishona. Right? The Mishnah Rishona said, benefit precedes destruction, that's good enough for me. The Derech Amuna disagrees in Source Yud. He says, "Le'el halacha tes beir halacha hevenu demreino haraz rachya halevi besukah shamashma de'im hana aso kodin biuro mikri ein hana aso biuro shava." He says earlier in my piece, the Derech Amuna is writing in Perakei Halacha Chabbeis. He says, if you go back to Perakei Halacha Tes, I referred you to the Baal Hamor, Rabbi Mizrachi Halevi, in the Gemara in Sukkah. And he says that the requirement of Hana'aso Bi'uro Shaveh, to be like eating, the benefit and destruction have to be simultaneous, means simultaneous. It doesn't mean you benefited before the destruction. That whole Mishnah Rishona idea is hocus pocus. The benefit has to be simultaneous with the destruction in order for it to have Kedusha Shvi'is. Otherwise, it does not. V'chein muchach v'rashi v'tosos bava kama kufal v'mebeis. He says Rashi and Tosos and bava kama say it explicitly. Why? Or implicitly. Sherashi kasav sham, because Rashi there discusses dyes. And he writes, avomine tzivayim b'shas v'sichas hayora kala hashorash v'kolei datzeva. With dyes, at the time when you boil them in the pot, in the vat, the root is disintegrated, and the dye is absorbed. Nimsa hanaasan ubiyuran shave. And so Rashi says the benefit and the destruction are simultaneous. So the Derech Emunah writes, V'imneima digam hanaaso kodim biyuro mahani lemecha ale kedusha shviyas. If you were to believe that benefiting pre-destruction is also good enough, then why would Rashi need to make the point about them being destroyed simultaneously? He could have said they're not destroyed simultaneously. Destruction happens after the dye is absorbed.
He specifically says, to preclude.
Correct. Well, that's the Mishnah's view. It's to preclude where the benefit is after.
So what would Rashi do with that? What is...
That was one example. That wasn't the only exclusion. So, what the Derech Emunah says is that it's not so. He says it's not hana'aso biyuro shava, this case. Benefiting pre-destruction is not the benefit that matters. You follow? We need it to be benefit simultaneous with destruction. However, the Derech Emunah then comes back to say, nonetheless, you may be able to salvage besamim. In other words, according to what he has just said, we can answer the question about besamim. They have no kedusha because they don't have hana'asu b'yiroshave. Case closed. Why did the Yerushalmi know that? The Derech Emunah knew it. So he gives you two answers. In source Yud Aleph, he says, "V'yesh la'ayin." You should examine them. L'fima shebe'arnu be'er alacha perak hay alacha chabeis. According to what we just said in source Yud, right in the previous Derech Emunah line, according to the statement there, b'shem kama rishonim, right? Balamor Rashi Tosfos, dana asan kodem biyuran gam kein mikriyein anasan biyuran shava. That when they benefit before destroying it, that's called non-simultaneous, asynchronous, if you will, asynchronous benefit and destruction. Sounds like a military weapon. MK and Mike Mabayale Bibisamim. So why did you even ask about Bisamim? Hahana Asan Kodim Biuran. The benefit precedes the destruction.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, that's my question. The answer, so he has two answers. First answer, it could be Mishum Dehanas Besamim Hukishamolalan Lahariach Bahen. The benefit from Besamim is when you squeeze them and roll them in order to benefit from them, like the Gemara in Beitza talks about in terms of what you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. What they would do is they'll take the spice and actually crush it. And that's what causes the smell to be released. So when you do that, you're destroying it little by little. Right? Whether you're just rubbing the leaf or whether you're actually crushing something that's dried, you are doing some destruction, therefore I'll say it is hana'asu b'yiro shava for that reason. Olafizen, he says, based on this, Bahadasim she'ein otzarach lamolon ein ben kedusha shviyas. In which case, for hadasim, which, at least when they're fresh, have a smell even without crushing them, then they won't have kedusha shviyas at that stage. Assuming that's really what you do. V'shema gam b'hadasim regilin lamololan. However, it could be with hadasim they also do this. This rubbing of it and rolling it. Shal yidei ze, yotze reach tov yoser, because then you get a better smell. But if you have a species that gives off a smell without any sort of rubbing or whatever, then it won't have kedusha shviyas. So his first answer is, you could say hana'asu b'yuro shava for the besamim too. The second answer is, yitachin yirushalmi less late time of the hana'asu b'yuro shava. It could be the Yerushalmi doesn't believe in this whole hana'asu b'yuro shava thing. It could be that's only a separate point, and the Yerushalmi doesn't buy that. Why? Shereilo nizker b'Yerushalmi tam zeh, because Yerushalmi never actually mentioned hana'asu b'yiro shava. V'lachein m'boyele b'besamim, and that's why they asked the question. Avol gemara didan, but ours, the Bavli, d'boy hana'asu b'yiro shava, ein b'besamim kedusha shviyas. The Bavli will say they don't have kedusha shviyas. V'lachein shmita rabenu, and that's why the Rambam doesn't discuss spices in Mishneh Torah Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. The Rambam omits it. Why does he omit it? Because he doesn't believe that they have Kedusha Shvius, because he's paskening like the Yerushalmi. We're going to come back to that Rambam. We're not done with that Rambam. But the but that's the first reason why they wouldn't have Kedusha Shvius, would be the argument of it's not Hana'aso B'Yerushalmi. The second reason why you wouldn't have Kedusha Shvius is because B'Samam are not Shava L'Chol Nefesh. They're not the same for everybody. Human beings have certain basic needs, right? Go look up Maslow. The human beings have certain basic needs. They need to eat. They need to drink. Rumor has it they need to sleep. They need to do laundry. They don't need to smell besamim. The Vilna Gaon makes that point, if I remember correctly, in his comments to this Yerushalmi. The Chazon Ish has it, I brought you in Sois Yud Beis. The Ein Ra'oi L'Sapek Bahen Rak Machmas Tashmishan Shetashmishan Rak L'Tanug Umugmar L'Chashiv Shava L'Chol Nefesh L'Inyin Yom Tov V'Ach L'Inyin Shviz Nami V'Inyin Shava L'Chol Adam. He says the use of these besamim is only for enjoyment. And you'll recall regarding Yom Tov, there's a discussion about Mugmar, right? Mugmar, remember, is the spice that they used to bring out for enjoyment during dessert. They would take spices and put them on a fire, and the smell would waft around the room. And the question is that allowed on Yom Tov? Barbecuing spices. Is that an okay thing to do on Yom Tov? And there they say, it's not called Shava L'Chol Nefesh. That's not something that everybody uses, everybody benefits from. And for Shemitah, he says, we also require Shava L'Chol Adam. It should be for everybody. And so that's a second reason to say that Besamim don't have Kedushas Shvius.
Is there going to be a stronger Havmina? Is Shava L'Chol Nefesh tied to a suit?
Apparently not. Because they say
right,
no. But in the Yom Tov we say not.
Right.
So, yeah. But the Derech Emunah once again comes along to save the day. Because he says Mugmar is not the same as the spices we are talking about. If you take a look at Sois Yud Gimel, V'yesh La'ayin. He says you should examine this because we haven't seen Shava L'Chol Nefesh other than with Mugmar. Which we burn on a fire. We smoke it on a fire. Don't burn it. You actually smoke it. The smoke wafts up. Whatever, you know what I'm saying. You're barbecuing it.
It's like incense.
Yeah, it's like incense, exactly. So you're doing that to cause the smell. But other pieces of wood that smell nice, or grasses that smell nice, shemarichin me'atzman, they cause a smell on their own. Maybe that is the same for everybody. Maybe it's only because you need to burn this in order to get the smell, but it's not called the same for everybody. Frankly, I'm not sure why. Unless he's going to say because firewood was expensive, and therefore you didn't necessarily want to use it for a mugmar unless you were wealthy.
That's just my only question on this whole sugya. How can we say that it's not? If it smells nice, how do we say that it's not Shava L'Chol Nefesh?
Right, so maybe he's saying it's only Shava L'Chol Nefesh if it's for all economic classes. That's actually going to figure back in our discussion, in the flour discussion as well. Maybe that's what he's saying. But that's his suggestion. Avol, but then he continues to say, just to finish his line, Kaniyad is Svirle Lemaran, Da'etzem Anas Harech Ein Zeh Shava L'Chol Nefesh Yolav Kulayam Atzrichin La Umisan Gid Mimena V'Tzarech Iyun. He says the Chazon Ish didn't seem to think so in Sois Yud Beis. He said it's about the smell itself not being something that everybody likes. That's the idea. Yes.
Are there like examples of things where they talk about Shava L'Chol Nefesh in terms of what class of society you're in?
Well,
or is that part of the whole concept?
It's a good question.
It
comes up in the showering on Yom Tov discussion. The question there is also not only sort of class of society, but also geographic. You know, plays into it. In other words, certain regions, certain cultures, it's common, in certain cultures, it's not.
Right, once it comes down to the poskim, but in the Gemara itself, do they talk about regions?
I don't recall it, no. I do not recall a discussion there in the Gemara. Yeah, he says it, some like some smells, some like other smells. In which case, like liver or something like that, you can say it's not shabbat l'chol nefesh.
Like, there are some people who take a bunch of bisamim and before they just smell it, they crush it.
Well, that was what he said, right? That was the discussion that we had about whether you say anasavir or shabbat. That's melila.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
So the second reason why I would say that they don't have kedusha, the first reason was it's not hana aso biuro shave. If I don't accept the Mishnah Rishona's idea and I'm not crushing it, then I'll say it's not hana aso biuro shave. The second reason to say it doesn't have kedusha is it's not shava l'chol nefesh according to Chazon Ish. And then the third and last reason is pointed out by the Oz Nidbaru, Rav Zilber, in Sars Yadalit, where he writes, quoting the Rash Cirillo on the Yerushalmi, the Rash Cirillo mafarish bayat Yerushalmi bebesamim biglal she'ena ikar, when Sars Yadalit, biglal she'ena ikar nisbatel v'nisba'er elanish ar tamid. He says the reason why besamim won't have kedusha shvi'ith, the reason why the Gemara asked the question in the first place, is because they're perpetual. Right? Imagine I have a plant sitting here in water or in earth. The smell is just going to keep on going. You can plant mint. You can't kill mint. It's just going to stay. You can pull it up as much as you like. It's going to keep going back. Although there it's a beer of the specific piece. But you understand what I'm saying. Your plant isn't going anywhere. As you smell, it's just going to remain there forever. And therefore, it's not like food. There's no destruction. Despirale la harashas, the Rash Tzirileo believes, mishum de eno domya dumya de le'ochla. It's not like eating. He would agree with the idea that if the benefit is before destruction, it has kedusha, like the Mishnah Rishona. However, he says there is no destruction. It doesn't get destroyed. It may die at some point, but it has nothing to do with what you did. So that's the third reason. So again, to make sure we're clear, I want to. Yes.
Just to clarify his point, though, but if the general way that people are using summon is to go and to cut off the summon from the ground and then roll it up, how does his idea play into it? He's going to say it's going to die on its own, but it's going to
right. I think he's not allowing for melila.
Okay,
he's not allowing for the crushing thing. He's talking about just where you smell it because it smells nice and you go on.
Yeah.
So what we see here then is, again, we had a Mishnah that seemed to say besamim have kedusha shvius, but those were edible besamim, so they don't count. We had the Yerushalmi that asks the question regarding inedible besamim and does not have a clear conclusion. The Yerushalmi does not have an answer. It brought a proof from these flowers that are fragrant, that it rejected those flowers, or it said that's only Rabbi Shimon speaking, so we didn't have an answer. So then we ask the question of why should they have kedusha shvius? What's the reason they should? You don't eat them. And our first answer is the smell benefits the body, Chazon Ish. And our second answer is that it's because hana'asu biyuro shava, you benefit from it before/when it is destroyed. And that's good enough, even though there's no benefit to the body. Those were our two answers for why it should have kedusha shvius. And then our arguments against having kedusha shvius are three. Number one, the view that said that it's not hana'asu biyuro shava, either because benefit before the beer doesn't count, right? That's one possible explanation. Or because there isn't, well, I'll say it's not an asu biyuro shava. Or, second, it's not shava l'chol nefesh, whether that means not everybody likes it or not everybody burns a mugmer. And then third, because they don't get destroyed. Certainly not as a function of what you're doing, but in general, they don't get destroyed. So as a matter of psak, what do we do? So generally, the rule is, in Shemitah v'Yovel, you look at the Rambam. Right? Because the Shulchan Aruch is going to help you out. So you look at the Rambam. And the Rambam doesn't say anything, as we already noted in the Derech Emunah. The Rambam didn't mention anything about Besamim. So we already saw the Derech Emunah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky told us in the end of Sfaros Yeralev, he says, since the Yerushalmi omitted Hana'asu Biro Shaveh, it's obvious to the Rambam that there is no Kedusha Shvius. There is no Kedusha Shviyah, since the Rishalmi skipped this whole thing about Anasim B'Yorosha. But the question is the body benefiting or not? It's only for smell. Ergo, there's no Kedusha Shviyah. That's Rav Chaim Kanievsky's conclusion of what the Rambam's view is. Not of his own view, but that's what he thinks the Rambam believes. The Oz Nidberu says no. The Oz Nidberu says you can't prove anything from the Rambam's omission. I brought you this exchange because it's instructive about how we learn Rambam in general. So take a look. In Source Tes Vav, Rav Zilber writes in his first tshuva on the issue of smelling things. His question was actually, he was asked about tobacco. So he writes, leave aside, Isurim on tobacco in general, and and so on. That's not his point. His question is, does that mean Yusha Shviyas? So he says in Source Tesvav, Ve'ein lidon mikavach hashmatas haRambam. Don't try to prove anything from the fact that the Rambam omitted spices in his discussion of the laws of Shemitah v'Yogel. Me'achar sha'afilu hashmatas haRambam ha'mefurish b'bavli ein lachriya bazeh shitas haRambam b'vadois. He says, even when the Rambam omits something that's explicitly discussed in Bavli, you can't prove anything. U'befrat shezerak savi b'Yerushalmi. And this was really only Yerushalmi. Hanasu b'Yerushalmi was a discussion in the Bavli, but no one discussed Besamim. So he says, don't prove anything from the fact that the Rambam omitted it. Right? This is a shock to the Briskers. Briskers the world over tremble in fright and say, what are you talking about? But that's what Rav Zilber writes. Yes?
What was the suffix in Yerushalmi?
The suffix was Besamim. We asked the question and we didn't answer it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Tesvav, that's what Rav Zilber says. So his questioner writes back to him and says, no, that's not true. And so Tesayin, he brings you the words of his questioner in the beginning of his tshuva. Umashatirates kvot harasarav hashmatas harambam, or rabbeinu, hashmatas harambam ledim besamim, kevichin mefurish begemara. As far as the fact that the Rambam omitted it, and you said, well, that's okay, because the Bavli didn't mention it either. Kasha lahavin, that's hard to understand. Shaya Rambam hevia Yerushalmi delei elmine, shamine kibush nyesh ben kedusha shvias. The Rambam brings the adjacent Yerushalmi about things that get pickled in oil and so on, so he brought that. Why wouldn't he bring this? To which Rav Zilber holds his ground, Yud Zayin. Dover she'en ha'mefurish b'bavli u'befrat gam b'Yerushalmi nisha zevesavik ein shum hochacha me'ashmatas haRambam. You can prove nothing from the Rambam's omission. That does not mean that the Rambam believes that Besamim don't have Kedushas Shviyas. He says, do not deduce anything from there. There's also, regarding a separate Gemara, I saw as I was preparing this, the Mishnas Yosef in Chelak Aleph, Shuk Mishnas Yosef, Aleph Lamedalad Beis, regarding a separate Gemara, has a piece also against building concepts based on an omission in the Rambam. He said, there are always answers for why the Rambam omitted something. You can't prove anything from that. But that's Rambam. What do we do? What's our psak? So despite the fact that there are those who argue that the Rambam might really believe there is no Kedusha Shviyas, like the Derech Emuna, nonetheless, the poskim seem to be strict. And to say, we treat inedible besamim as Kedusha Shviyas, as having Shemitah status. The Derech Emuna himself says it in Source Yuches, Mine besam she'en roi el l'reach, hu bayat lo yishita b'Yerushalmi, and knowing about Kedusha Shviyas alo, v'yesh l'achmir. He says the conclusion is one should be strict, and the Oz Nidberu says the same thing in Dalit Gimel, and there's a sefer I use called Dine Shvius, which is put out by a conglomeration of yeshivos, government sponsored in Eretz Yisrael, and they're strict as well. So that's the upshot of the discussion, is the Besamim do have Kedushas Shviyas. Now, I was going to discuss also the sap from a tree, and I already condensed it to just have a few sources on it here. I'm going to do it outside of the text. You can see yourself, your testachav beis are the sources that I'm bringing. The question here is, what about sap from a tree? The real question we're asking is, what is the extent of the definition of wood? How far do you extend? When you say wood doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas, but fruit does. So where does wood end and fruit begin? You have a sap that comes out of the wood, and it's edible, in fact. But on the other hand, it's not fruit. So the Mishnah in Shviyas mentioned Kitaf, right? If you go all the way back to the top of the page in Source Beis, the Tanakhama said Kitaf has Shemitah status. And Rabbi Shimon came back and said, no, Kitaf does not have Shemitah status. We didn't read this inside then. I'm saying it to you now. Mipnei she'eino peri, because it's not a fruit. That's what our Mishnah had a debate regarding Kitav. So what is Kitav? So the Rambam and the Bartanura say it's a tree called Afar Simon. The Tosfos Yom Tov writes that means any tree that lacks edible fruit. And that's what we'll see in general, is the way we take it. Any tree that lacks edible fruit. The Chazon Ish argues that it can't be a Afar Simon from a series of sources. I didn't bother to bring it here. The Chazish is Yadalites. He argues it can't be a Afar Simon. He doesn't argue against the principle. He just says that the identification with a Afar Simon is wrong. Yes?
He's saying the top is a Afar Simon?
Yes.
And a Afar Simon is any tree that has
no fruit.
Fruit, but you can't eat it?
No, it doesn't bear edible fruit. Yeah. Well, it doesn't bear edible and maybe, I don't want to say visible. Yeah. But the Chazon Ish's point may not be a problem because there is a broad spectrum of trees known as a Afar Simon. Just like we said for cypress, persimmons grow all over the place and there are different persimmons and some have edible fruit and there are some that do not have edible fruit. So I wouldn't be stuck on the word Afar Simon. The bottom line is indeed, as Tosfos Yom Tov said, the Pharisee Yisrael says it's balsam tree. Go figure. The bottom line is that it's a tree that does not have edible fruit. So the Tanakhama says it has Kedusha Shvius, and Rabbi Shimon says no, it doesn't. So in the Gemara in Nida, which I brought you in Daf Ches Amud Aleph Talmud Beis, which we're going to say outside, it's source Yates on your sheets. They're coming into this from a completely separate discussion about the views of Rabbi Eliezer, where we said that we follow Rabbi Eliezer on 4 points, and is that only in Seder Taharos? Is it in the rest of Shas? But what emerges from it is that Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that if you were to be ma'amid bisraf arla, if you were to use arla sap from a tree's first 3 years, if you were to use that for its enzymes in order to turn milk into cheese, if you were to do that, that would be a problem because you're not allowed to benefit from arla. So you see that he views the sap to be like a fruit. Right? He says that the sap from Arla fruit has this, or from the sap from Arla has status, like the fruit. So sap is fruit. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Because we distinguish perhaps between the sap of a fruit and sap from a tree, and sap from a tree that has fruit, and sap of a tree that does not produce fruit. And that's the upshot of this discussion, is indeed that we distinguish between sap of a fruit, of a tree that produces fruit, and sap of a tree that does not produce fruit. That's a very important distinction. And what we're going to suggest is the following. What we're going to suggest is that if sap comes from a tree that produces edible fruit, then I don't really care about the sap. I look at the sap as being part of the wood. Whereas if it's the only edible product of this tree, then that's the product, and that's the fruit of this tree. You see the difference? Hello? I mean, you really need to see the Gemara and Nida better in order to understand this more. But the point for us, and it's also in the Rishalmi and Shvius in Zion base, slightly differently, but the point for us is that there can be a product of a tree that is in fact edible, but will not have Kedusha Shvius, because in people's minds it's insignificant.
Because it doesn't have edible fruit?
Because the tree has edible fruit, and therefore we don't pay any attention to the sap.
Oh, but if it doesn't have edible fruit, then the sap takes on significance.
Then the sap takes on significance, precisely.
If it's not edible tree, then the sap would have the Kedusha Shvius and would be over for using it.
Yeah.
Except for the other way one would be.
Right. So there is one more question. We have 2 minutes, and I want to make sure to address this. Why don't I decide this based on Hana Asobi Rosh Aved? Why don't I say, when you eat it, you destroy it, therefore, it's not wood? Why don't I give that answer?
We're eating the sap. What are we doing with the sap?
Yeah, use it in food. Maple syrup. Not necessarily, I mean, I don't know if maple syrup has the status, because maples don't produce fruit, edible fruit, it's only the sap. I mean, I don't know that they grow in Israel anyway. Right. What?
Don't all trees have some sort of fruit, be it seed, acorns?
Edible.
Right.
it's always, and edible doesn't mean you won't be poisoned by eating it. Edible means people eat it.
Right, the norm.
Yeah. So I just want to show you the last stories here. Tosfos in two different places says it. But I'll take the shorter one. Tosfos Bava Kama Kuval from the base. V'nira vaday katva havi hana asu biro shava. He says, you're right. Sap does have hana and beer simultaneously. Vafilu hachi, and yet, ilo havi pera batil agave eight. If it's not called a fruit, then it is batil to the tree. People view it as part of the tree. It's like it's inside the leaves. The leaves never left the leaf. Because if I take the leaf, it's not subject to shashvias, even though there's sap inside, or it's inside of the stem, inside of the trunk. But if it's called a fruit, then it is significant in its own right, and it's not batel to the wood, and it has kedusha of shmita. He says it slightly differently in his Tosfos in Nida that I have in Source Chaf. But the bottom line is, the question fundamentally is it batel to the wood or not? Hana'asu b'yuro shaveh is not the sole criterion. It could be hana'asu b'yuro shaveh, and yet, if people don't view it as significant, then it doesn't have kedusha shvius. That's the point that I wanted to get to regarding the sap. And the Rambam, indeed, paskins in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel Zayin Yud Tes, that sap that comes from a tree, that sap that comes from a tree, from the leaves, from the roots, does not have kedushas shvius. And actually, he doesn't distinguish between whether it's a tree that produces fruit or not. Whereas if it comes from fruit, he says it does have kedushas shvius. The Rambam takes the view, for some reason I had my notes, the opposite, but it's not true. The Rambam says no.
Maple is not. Maple syrup is not.
He would say maple syrup is not. Only fruit sap has it. Why did I think the Rambam said differently? I don't know. But yeah, I wrote differently in my notes for some reason. I don't know why. But that's indeed the position of the Rambam. He follows Rabbi Shimon's view. And he says no kedusha shvius, whether the tree produces fruit or does not produce fruit. That's his position. And okay, good. We'll pick up with that only next week. Next week we discuss flowers, which Besamim has some relevance for you. Sap probably has no relevance for you. Flowers have great relevance, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but outside, because Israeli exporters export large amounts of flowers every year. So that's something to know about. So God willing, next week we'll discuss flowers.